Gather around your speakers, hoop heads. It's NBA story time. Jamel Johnson here to spin you tales of NBA shenanigans you didn't know you needed to know. Like that time when a little startup league tried anything to be relevant, or when Ricky Davis earned himself a dumb nickname. I also love you, Ricky Davis. Catch a new tale on NBA Storytime every week, then listen to the postgame where I break it down with comedians, ballers, and what have you. Find NBA Storytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Guys, what's up? I want to take a quick second to let you guys know that our podcast is supported by Anchor. That's right. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free. There's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. I'm doing this ad from my phone as we speak. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. Evidently, I can't talk. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. Now back to the show.
Hey guys, I want to take a quick second to let you guys know that we have partnered with Louis Wickett of Key Mortgage Group. To me, it seems pretty simple. When you get into the process of buying a home or you're trying to figure out your personal plan for the next 3 to 5 years, that should be an easy process. And when you walk away from that, you should feel really secure about the deal you're getting and who you're working with. And that's why we've teamed up with Louis. He has been doing it for years now. He knows exactly what he's doing throughout the entire process. And the best thing is he takes an educational approach with his clients. He makes time for you, he's relatable, and he wants you to get the best deal possible. Whether you're just trying to figure out where you are in the process or you're literally ready to buy right now, Louis is your answer. I keep hearing it's a great time to buy right now and get into real estate, buy low, sell high, or something like that. Louis knows more than me, and he's ready to talk with you today. We've set up a personal email for Wash Up Walk-Ons listeners to contact Louis at hawks@gohomeside.com. That's hawks@gohomeside.com. Or you can call Louis at 515-238-9949 to start the process. We have been waiting to get Brady Ross on the podcast for so long, and we got him for 2 hours. We split this thing into two episodes. This first episode, part one, is going to talk about Brady's recruiting process, how he became a Hawkeye, the intricacies of fullback and the anxiety that goes along with that position, and maybe a few Dolphin impersonations. Let's have a day. Let's go.
Welcome back, Wash Up Walk-Ons fans, episode 131 of the podcast, aka Three Clowns and a Mic. And we're back for an episode that everybody's been waiting for. Today, our guest is, in my humble opinion, the best fullback to ever strap him on at Iowa. The film doesn't lie. This is the last of the OGs, in my opinion. The next crop of fullbacks coming up, they're going to have to make their own name, because this is the last of them. This is the youngest 40-year-old and the oldest 23-year-old anybody has ever known. The hardest hitter I've ever met, my uncle and my nephew, Brady Ross.
Nice to be here. What's going on, fellas?
Your background is truly tremendous.
Yes.
I don't even know really what's going on. But you know, I just saw someone on Twitter wanted to cancel Drake Kulik, and that's not a train I'm gonna not jump on. I've been trying to cancel Drake ever since I met him, and now is finally my opportunity. I'm glad somebody finally had tweet that out, get behind their phone and tweet that out, because now I can just jump on the bandwagon.
And I totally meant to put in my intro, I don't know how I dropped the ball, that anybody who was mad at me over for what's been transpiring over the last week or so, in my opinions, welcome to the roast of Drake Kulik. You're very much going to enjoy this episode. So this is a start.
Well, I don't have any roast jokes written down, but we'll see what percolates in my consciousness as we move forward. So,
oh God,
so articulate. You always were an articulate motherfucker. You know that.
Articulate mean? I don't know.
It means that you're good with your words and you can express your feelings in a lot of ways.
I know that was a joke.
Oh,
I don't think that you're going to be quite as articulate as Miguel.
Tell you what though. Speaking of Miguel, playing Minecraft with Brady Ross, Miguel, and Miguel's brother, you have some of the most interesting conversations you could possibly have.
Well, what it is I'm – Miguel and Marco have an IQ probably each of around 150 plus maybe.
Yeah, I would say
so. I'm not anywhere near as smart as they are. I'm like a wannabe smart guy. So I try to hang in there with their conversations. And a lot of times I have no idea what they're talking about.
Yeah.
But I kind of give them the old yep and give them the old nod just to make sure that they don't know I'm an idiot.
Dude, you just described every day in the specialist room with Miguel for me. He was 1 year younger than us. So for 4 years, every single day at the complex, when it was an individual position type deal, it was just Miguel talking about world history or the 1400s or some kind of biology science that I didn't understand. And it would just be like, Miguel would be like, and you know what that is, right? And I'd just be like, yeah, totally.
Yeah, Marco's the same way. I'm pretty sure they can both recite the entire Gulag Archipelago word for word without even referring back to it. And meanwhile, I'm sitting there acting like I know what they're talking about. But they're great guys, and we haven't played Minecraft in all too long. Unfortunately, I packed my Xbox up, and it's now back in Humboldt. But we're gonna have to figure something.
We gotta get back on that grind for sure. And Kluber, yeah. I mean, we invited him every time.
It's tough when you get a fucking. Well, I was working a real job a lot of the time than you're talking about. So I was like working nights or like weird hours that I couldn't. But in the intro, Drake, who rarely a humble guy, mentioned that.
What do you mean, dude? Just because I joke a lot and talk a lot of shit doesn't mean like I'm not self-deprecating. And very
okay. Humble. You're right.
It wasn't shit.
I guess you give credit rarely, I guess. And when it's due. And he called you, he's consistently called you the best Iowa fullback that's ever gone through the program. I'd be interested in hearing what you have to think about that.
What does his mouth feel like around your penis?
Well, he's got that mask on right now. We might have to take that off. Drake, do you always wear that on the podcast? Because I never.
No, watched. I actually just recently got this mask because this is my new Corona mask. So this is what I wear in public because of the mask ordinance.
Okay. Oh, there's a mask ordinance where you're at. You have to wear a mask?
Correct. Everywhere you go. And so this is my mask. And also, I get called a clown a lot on what Kluver that reads the message boards and people on Twitter. So yeah, I just rock the clown, man. I just own it, man.
I like it. But, you know, again, it like the greatest whatever, the great – what do you call me? The best fullback. To me, that's
– In my opinion, the film doesn't lie.
That's high praise, and I appreciate it. I think there's been a lot of good fullbacks to go through. And I think these two younger guys, right now. Well, there's more than two, but Turner and Miguel, or Turner and Monty Potabom. There's my CTE. We were talking about Miguel, and I just Miguel, though a great kicker, I'm not sure that I would want him lined up at fullback for the Hawks. But
you read that.
Hey, if there's one thing you say about Miguel is he's gonna take that 23 beyond, and he's gonna put his heart into it.
Yeah.
You know,
oh yeah.
There's just not a lot of it. Lots put in. You know.
Yeah.
It's the size of the fight and the dog, but. Yeah, these two young guys might come and dethrone me in Drake's opinion. I think, in my opinion, I never had the throne, but I appreciate him saying that, I suppose. It's better than being called some of the names he's been getting called on Twitter recently. So
it's better than getting called some of the shit I was getting called while I was playing, dude. Like, people knew I sucked years ago. I think KF even had a quote when I became one of the starters. That was like, listen, man, if you'd have seen this kid from where he started, and then he just started shaking his head, and I'm not even sure he really finished his sentence. He's just like, he's put in a lot of work.
Well, yeah, I mean, so, yeah,
the classic,
it's hard. I mean, there have been guys who make the switch from linebacker and just can't quite. Cut it. It's a very weird. There's a lot of people just think it's running into somebody as hard as you can, which is half the battle. But
75%.
But I mean, there's more to it than people think, and especially when you get on the game field on Saturday, people always ask, you know, what's the hardest part of playing fullback? And we're often asked, Drake and I, what we think of splitting reps. You know, there's obviously some positives. You get less CTE. Legs snapped in half, and you get less, you know, yeah, CTE and what have you. And you can, you know, and it obviously increases your longevity both in football and probably beyond. But the hardest part about playing fullback, especially at Iowa, where let's call it like we see it, we don't play 50 snaps a game. In fact, there are some games where we don't get 25, it's the uncertainty. Right, you go from standing on the sideline completely you're just standing on the sideline wondering when you're going to get your next rep to making full speed contact with a linebacker or safety or God forbid defensive lineman within 25 seconds. And that's difficult, especially when you throw into the equation that it's 30 degrees and windy and now you're just worried about your muscles frosting over. And so there's a lot of uncertainty involved.
Talk about the anxiety, bro. Talk about it feels like. So, like, I've tried to explain it, but from a guy who went from starting fucking day one, like, you redshirted, and then you might as well have took my job. Like, if I'm being frank, you would have won the job in camp when I was a junior and you were a freshman. You were better than me at some of the things that you needed to be better than me at. And, like – you had to have been like stupid anxious from red shirt to then boom, just day one.
Well, you know, when I was probably for my first half of my first season, I was just bombarding you with questions about, because I'm a person where the last thing I ever wanted to do was mess up, do the wrong thing. You know, I mean, I'm pretty sure I would just verify if I was 99.9 repeating percent certain what I do on 27 boss, I had to verify it with you three times over. So, like, you know, insofar as I would have taken your job, I really think, you know, and I do like flipping you, you know, giving you a hard time, but I really think without your guidance, I mean,
that is true. I was like the Brady's uncle, even though he's the most uncle looking dude of all time.
We're gonna get to that, Drake. I'm curious if I got to imagine the way that Brady just described that is very similar in your situation with Adam Cox and Macon Plova.
So Brady, I got a question. You talked about, you know, being anxious before because you have no idea when you're going in. When you go in, it's like, okay, now I have to go run full speed into a massive human. What is it compared to like punt alert? like going in because you were on the Shield, right?
No, I mean, Shield's
not great.
Punt alert's nothing. I mean,
really?
The thing about playing fullback, well, the thing about the Shield is I don't care about getting my face smashed in, right? All I have to do is stand there and
take it,
you know, get my face smashed in. At least I'm not going to do anything wrong. At fullback, you know, and I referenced earlier, we don't get a ton of plays. Well, now for that reason, every rep you do get carries more weight. Right, if you're Josie Jewell or Ben Neiman, you're playing 77 snaps a game, and you mess up a couple.
It's a smaller percentage, yeah.
Right, when you get, you know, when we're playing Wisconsin or whatever, and you get 12 snaps and a couple go wrong, all of a sudden now you just played a terrible football game because 20% of, you know.
Brady, I'm so happy you described it that way because I've never been able to articulate that, and that again. Specialist is different. I'm not running into anybody, but I've got the goddamn ball in my hands every time I was on the field, and that was a perfect way to describe it.
Think about this. There was a play when we were playing Ohio State that Brady Ross, Butters from Humboldt, was out on the edge protecting Nate against Nick Bosa. And we just need to sit here and
advantage
take a
Hawks.
And guess what? Brady went in there and sniped his knee. Nick hit the deck on his face, and Brady won the rep.
Advantage Hawks. You know, yeah, but I remember that. I believe it was my first or second play, and I look out there, and
it's Nick Bosa.
You know, when you walk into Shields or Dunham's or, you know, one of those sporting goods stores and you see that Under Armour statue standing there and it's like 6'7", you know, it just looks like Ronnie Coleman. You're like, there's no, that is so unrealistic. There's no one that looks like that. Like
you saw a mannequin on the D end.
I looked out and saw that mannequin, except he could actually run around. And usually on those plays, Brian discourages us from cutting if we can, you know, unless he's screaming up the field. I looked out there and said, sorry, Brian.
Listen, Brian, Coach Brian admitted to us. He's like, listen, if this guy doesn't want to be blocked, he won't be blocked. So we're not going to be mad at you. It was a situation where he understood that, like, one-on-one, we didn't have a player. Jimmy's and Joe's over X's and O's in that situation.
He's gotten better, obviously, but he can't be blocked in the NFL.
As a rookie, yeah.
It's insane. Yeah. Advantage Hawks. Let's go back to what Kevin said. Butters from Humboldt. What Drake said, I guess. Butters from Humboldt. Let's talk about that. You came into the program in the golden year. You were part of that class that for a whole year didn't really understand how hard it was to play Big Ten football. Like it was this year of like, oh, we won again. Oh,
well, I understood what it was like to be a Big Ten scout team linebacker.
Yeah.
While the, you know, like handful of the guys who they offered scholarships to play linebacker, they literally didn't even practice. They're over there laying on the sideline, like lounging around while I'm smashing my head into Sean Welsh because, you know, we can't get a card right. But so I knew that all too well. But yeah.
Hey, Ross, let's talk about your guys's linebacker recruiting class.
Look, I can't say a bad word about any of those guys. I've run into a couple of them
as people or throughout, as
you know, they were, I've run into a couple, you know, and I give them a big hug. Like, they're great guys. You know, and I think, you know, a couple of them went on to other places and had really good careers. So, you know, again, there's nothing I can say negative towards those guys. You know, it's
what a politically correct answer.
It's well, again, and it, in, you know, I have memories with those guys coming in as freshmen. You're all kind of trying to figure things out and you're having your summer meetings and, you know, sizing each other up and, you know, that first, and, you know, I mean, Jack Hockaday is a guy that I talked to a few times. I told him I'd give him a shout out. I just had a whole can of sauce for him. So But yeah, I mean, that we had some guys who it didn't work out for. It wasn't a right fit, whatever the case may have been. And I wish nothing but the best for all of them as they move forward. But
yeah, I think that's something that gets lost on fan bases and just people outside the program is no matter how good you are at retaining players or developing players or finding a player his true position where he's going to excel the best, there's still going to be attrition that is significant from each class, and people don't get that. I don't think it. People are always like, "Why are we like it?" You have to expect that like at least 25% of the class is going to fail. Like, there's not enough spots. You just look at the spots. I don't know. That's always something that got to me. But Brady, you made your way. Okay, so first of all, the Butters thing. You used to have hair, right? And something that, you're always on me about is shaving.
And how did you get so old in 1 year? Because you looked like Butters from South Park, and we made fun of you for it, and you took it because some people know the sticks and stones verbiage. But, how did you get so old in one calendar year?
Well, I looked old.
But not really.
When I had hair. I remember Brian Ferentz telling me that I was the oldest looking freshman he had seen since Tim Dwight. And that was when I had hair.
You did look.
And I agree. I kind of did. I didn't look like, first of all, I was old. So one of the reasons why I look old is because I am. I'm 24. You said I was 23 in the end.
Okay, bro. I'm damn near 26 and I don't look near as old as you.
Well, that explains some percentage of it. I was 19 and a half years old when I graduated high school. My mom and dad were pretty smart as far as the red shirt goes when they're, the red shirt year is utilizing that red shirt to,
you had a high school really, red shirt.
Well, I think it was really because when I was little, I was what some may call a slow developer. I had trouble tying my shoes and what have you, but so they decided to put me in 2 years of preschool and 1 year of prep. And I'm still not sure that I've caught up, but I think that did help at least physically. So I was a menace on the flag football field. And
dude, it's all starting to come together though, because I saw your high school highlights. You
right.
Put a kid in a helicopter, Brady. And it makes sense. If you were hitting kids when you were 19 years old, it's starting to come together.
Brady was that kid from fucking Benchwarmers. I am 12 in a case of beer. That's Brady. And now, you know what? You always talked about your AAU basketball days and how you were a fucking savage running point. And now that makes more sense because you were playing third graders as an eighth grader.
I was, I have to say AAU is actually age determinant. So it's like 17U, 16U. Oh, so
some of them.
And I don't talk about my AAU days. I don't know what you're talking about.
That's such bullshit, dude. You sent us a video the other day of like a turnaround jump shot. You fading away.
And what happened? It was bottom of the net, right?
Yeah, dude.
That was first take.
Is this your time to let everybody know that you would have been one of the greatest point guards to ever play?
No, I point guard, no. The problem with me is I can't shoot the three ball. 15 feet in it, or 16 and a half feet in it.
16.
I was pretty effective offensively, and I could hold my own at the defensive end. Mid-range game, the fadeaway. I couldn't hit a three, though, and I couldn't handle the ball. I can handle the ball well in a driving context when you're driving to the hoop trying to make a one-on-one play, but I was we had a really good point guard when I was in high school and coming up that I could have never even played for Humboldt at point guard. So but
talk about that. Talk about Humboldt and real quick, because we usually go through like, hey, you went here, how'd your recruiting going, when did how did Brady Ross Humboldt you're wearing the Wildcat strength shirt. How does that guy turn into walk-on fullback? Where in your walk-on story was like the sliver of opportunity given? How'd you make your way in?
I'm glad you asked that. When I was in eighth grade, like basketball season-ish of my eighth grade year, my dad introduced me to a guy named Nick Schluter, who was at that time the volunteer strength coach at Humboldt. And, you know, this is a guy that's, you know, a mountain of a man. He bench pressed 500 plus pounds in a t-shirt.
Jesus.
And really we just kind of hit it off and spent hours and hours and hours in the weight room, where I developed quite a love for moving iron around
and became,
you know, learned a lot of life lessons from him.
Outrageously strong human beings.
And, you know, so that's it right there. When I met Nick Schluter, that was my sliver of opportunity to develop into somebody who the Hawks would let come smash into things for absolutely no compensation whatsoever, which seems like a fair trade off to me, I suppose.
Shout out to us, man. The ones who did it for no compensation.
When did it happen? Did it, like, junior year, senior year, they like, hey, you can walk on? Was it one of those, like, hey,
we need some guys willing to go smash into some offensive line?
It was Reese Morgan, obviously. Had to be.
Well, the interest was pretty early. I went with my dad to a
You were 28 years old as a freshman.
I went to a camp. Interest, quote unquote. They were never obviously interested, right? Otherwise they would have given me something. But
yeah.
But, you know, I went to a camp in Kinnick Stadium, and afterwards Coach Woods, you know, came up to me and wanted me to come to his camp. And I really just think he wanted the $399 or whatever he charges parents to go to his Okoboji camp. But he got it from my parents, and it did not produce any fruit as far as earning a scholarship. So that was a win for him, I suppose. But they had been in talks, and I had been
shout out to Coach Woods, man. I love Coach
Woods. He's awesome. I talked with him on the phone couple days ago, and he's just, you know, he's one of those guys that'll bend over backwards, you know, for guys to help him out, and just awesome guy. I mean, one of my favorite people on earth.
That was one of the funniest things you've ever said.
He just wanted
that investment didn't pay off.
But yeah, at least we got free tickets to the games, because they would, you know, I was in their mailing list for like, hey, tell us what games you want to come to. And of course me and my dad were front and center the whole time, hoping like, hey, here we are, maybe you can, like, you know, take me or something like that.
hey, yeah. Got any scholarships, sir? Any scholarships?
They had a couple, but they decided that they were better spent elsewhere, I suppose. We'll just leave it at that.
there's a little ring of your doll voice at in that right there. And you gave us a little snippet the other day on Twitter when Dolph called you out and said, let's hear that Dolph impression, buddy boy. You got the buddy boy.
When Dolph asks, Dolph receives, although I still don't think he follows me on Twitter, but you know.
What an asshole. I don't know. What's your favorite thing to say as Dolph? I'm not going to make you do a bunch of impressions, but I do want to hear like,
I'm not gonna lie, that hype video that you did,
the Hawkeyes, because, you know, and somebody commented on Twitter to, like, you know, do a touchdown Iowa, touchdown Iowa, you know,
that's when he, right, that's when he gets like really,
that becomes really difficult. And I think here's why. When it comes to impersonating, you know, a given trait's susceptibility to impersonation or imitation, I think has directly to do with, as almost entirely to do with, how distinct and unique that trait is. And that's true whether you're talking about a voice or, you know, like a walking gait. If I told you to walk like Kevin Ward, you'd be like, what the hell are you talking about? But you walk like Vince McMahon. Yeah, give me your best Vince McMahon walk. Everyone knows. Shoot like Sean Marion. Give me a Sean Marion jump shot. Everyone, you know, that's easy to impersonate. Impersonating Kobe Bryant, because it's just, you know, it's textbook. It's relatively mundane. And the problem with the touchdown Iowa thing is when he's saying touchdown Iowa repeatedly, he's no longer speaking.
Yeah.
And he's now yelling at the top of his lungs, and it loses some of that
uniqueness,
you know, some of those distinct traits, because when he talks, sometimes he'll linger on certain syllables of certain words. The Iowa Hawkeye, you know, he'll let it ride a little bit, you know, or they're 243 days.
That's the one he's the most.
God, but when he's yelling, it loses some of that. So
just 1 minute.
Yeah. So, but he's the GOAT, and you know, I you can't not. So
yeah, he is the GOAT. So you go to that camp. You went to that camp, paid the $399, padded Woods's account. It probably goes to like a charity or like a foundation.
Definitely with him, there's no. I would be shocked if he even saw that money. So
right, you know, it's not like it matters. He makes like
$300,000. Yeah.
And so was it there that he was like, because what year would that have been? That would have been like freshman year. So they didn't. Did they tell you freshman year that you could walk on, or was it like finally you got to junior year and you were still lingering around like, okay, fine. Like, well, fuck. Yeah. Just come on August 1st and like, we'll see if we have a locker. Hey guys. Yep. It's me again. Got to interrupt the episode real quick to talk to you guys about Spotify. One of the sponsors of this podcast on Spotify, you can listen to all your favorite artists and podcasts in one place for free. You don't even need a premium account. Spotify has a huge catalog of podcasts on every topic, including the one you're listening to right now. Yeah, we're on Spotify. I don't know how we did that, but pretty cool. Other things you can do on Spotify is follow your favorite podcast so you never miss an episode. Premium users can download episodes to listen to offline, wherever you are, and you can easily share what you're listening to with your friends on Instagram. If you haven't done so already, be sure to download the Spotify app. Search for Wash Up Walk-Ons on Spotify or browse podcasts in the Your Library tab. Also, make sure to follow us so that you never miss an episode of the Wash Up Walk-Ons.
They didn't tell me about the walk-on thing until after Iowa State actually told me that I could come be a what was then called a preferred walk-on. I think
I still don't know what that probably, is.
It's a walk-on that goes to camp.
Okay. Yeah, it's a guaranteed camp spot.
Okay. Yeah, it's just a camp, which in hindsight, I probably kind of wish I was a non-preferred given that. But
I'll just take one. I don't need.
Same.
But
that first camp is fucking brutal.
Ugh. Yeah.
So.
Yikes. But, you know, but yeah, I was at an Iowa State, camp, you know, Iowa State junior day. A pretty elite junior day. I think there was 14 guys there, all of whom, except for me, I think, went D1 on scholarship.
Wow, you know, suck.
Ryan Boyle, you know, Bryce Meeker, you know, that McMillan kid who they – I mean, there were two linebackers there, me and that McMillan kid who they offered. And I got pulled – so we're at the basketball game. And they're playing Oklahoma State, Marcus Smart, Phil Forte. And it's like it's a close game, you know, Hilton Coliseum rocking. And the Scott Southmaid of Iowa State, I think his name was Garrett.
Yeah, came, it was.
Yeah, came down and he said, hey, Brady, after this game, Coach Rhodes wants to meet with you and your family in his office.
Okay. You're just seeing dollar signs.
You thought you had it.
I mean, and of course, as fate has it, the game goes to like quadruple overtime. We get in the bus and it's just bumper to bumper traffic. And I'm like, I think I'm about to get offered by Iowa State. Like, I think I'm going to, and sure enough, we get in there. He you know, sings, you know, we can't get enough of your highlights. We watch them all the time. Like, you know, we just need you to come to camp and, you know, hit some minimum numbers, And, you know, we're going to pull the trigger and we're really cheering for you. We want, you know, all that stuff. We've seen enough of you as far as football goes and blah, blah, blah. And I was thinking, okay, well, I hire a guy from around that area to like help me. Cause you know, half the tests are like cheating them and knowing how to do them. And, you know, we're working and all that stuff. And I end up running pretty good times. I mean, I was in the 4.6s. I broad jumped, I think not way further than I ever broad jumped at Iowa. It was like nine.
Well, when you're goddamn high,
it was like 9.10 or whatever. And I thought I did it. My recruiting area coach came over, gave me a big hug. We're definitely going to be calling you tomorrow. You killed it, all that stuff. Well, they offered me a walk-on spot. So
that is tough.
So, yeah, I guess when you can walk on at Iowa or Iowa State, I guess some people might – nothing against the people who would choose Iowa State in that scenario, but that's not
– No, 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 no.
That's not me. Iowa State, that isn't me.
Paul Rhodes is a dickhead. So there's where we're at.
Paul wrote, they stopped contacting me. They fucking love me. I went into their snapper camp, like their special teams camp, and blew everybody out of the water. And they were like, yeah, you did good. Later, we're in middle of freshman year at Iowa, and I figured out that they didn't want anybody, but Paul Rhodes' son was in our class, and they took him, and the only thing he could do is long snap, of course. And so that's why they didn't.
Wait, what else can you do?
Got his ass.
You know, hey, how I'm curious, it's probably more than me, but how many tackles did you have in high school?
I don't know,
because I had 325.
I have no
idea. Like, sounds like a guy who lives
at the 4A level.
Yeah, are the pages of your yearbook sticky or
you keep that? I'm just saying.
I'll also add this: tackle stats in high school are, and I have no idea how many I had. Like, I could have had more or less. I don't know. But tackle stats in high school are an absolute joke.
Yeah, it's not
meaningless.
Absolute joke. There was a kid my year, my senior year. I think it was my senior year, or junior year, one of the two. From Waverly that had like 478 tackles on the season, like solo tackles.
Yeah, it was. I mean, there's like, definitely there,
like, the is no one is, else in your team tackling anybody?
Well, no. The problem is their guys are entering stats for them that aren't correct.
I got minus four tackles one game.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, I went and counted one time because I was curious, because you can look at the team stats. They had something like 90 solo tackles registered throughout their team. The other team had run like 44 offensive plays. So I'm assuming that if you got 325, I'm guessing that's more like
that was 325 real tackles.
The quarterback took a knee. We'll give the tackle to the defensive tackle.
Yeah. But you're right. I was, you know, that's all I did. You know what? There's a good chance that I'm probably not nearly as tough or dumb as you two to put myself in that position, but I, 5'10", I could be a bulky little fullback. You could have put about 40 pounds on me. I could have played at what I looked like for pro day, about 240, 5'10".
What? You were the right size, man.
Yeah. Oh my God. Low to the ground, just cutting bitches down, but I wouldn't. I would have pussied out of that. There's no way I was going
to. I would love to have seen Tyler Kluver take a 9-on-7 session at fullback. That would have made me happy.
I wouldn't have. That sounds horrible. I watched a lot of those, and I actually think I lost cells myself just hearing the hits. Brady, that's how you got to Iowa, and that's how you made a living, dude. I don't know if you wrote down in your journal every day, piss somebody on the offense off, or what, but when you came in from camp your freshman year, basically that whole season, the offense fucking hated you, dude.
Yeah.
And we heard about, like, so much that, like, I heard about it from the offensive guys. They talked about it in team meetings. I mean,
I know how much Phil Parker loved it.
Phil loved it, and but you
Phil
made
it, loves it when the scout team guys give the offense a whole bunch of shit to do.
You basically made a name for yourself and carved your path early by just being an absolute bitch to handle on scout team. I want to hear your thoughts on that and like how that first year.
And I'm going to tell a story after that.
Well, it was a goal of mine to make as many enemies as I could on the offensive side, because that would mean that, you know, I was doing some things right on the scout team. I understood when guys would come, respected guys, really good players who are now still playing in the NFL, would come up to me and say, like, take it easy, like, chill, like, you don't have to take people's heads off and, you know, run around like a cyborg. But with all due respect, I did have to do that. I knew what my goals were, or I didn't really have goals, because I just wanted to have as much success as I could. You know, I didn't want to quantify that with goals, because goals are only good insofar as they influence your then subsequent actions. I just knew what actions I had to take to increase the probability that I would have some level of success, whether that was, you know, running down, hey, we'll let that kid run down on kickoffs as a senior. And hey, if we have a spare scholarship sitting around, you know, put him on Scully for his last semester, give him a feather in his cap or something. Maybe that would have been the top of my mountain. Or, you know, as it turns out, I played in 45 games and was a couple time team captain. And that was great too. I never imagined that, but I knew that if I just work harder than everybody else on scout team and, you know, basically be a thorn in the side of the offense as often as I can, that'll probably go a long way towards getting me on the field on Saturday. And I wanted to earn playing time, earn a scholarship, and I wanted to do it yesterday. So I felt like that was probably the best strategy, rather than to, you know, kind of go through the motions and wait my turn, because my turn wasn't coming. If that was my strategy,
you had to create your turn.
You are not in line.
Yeah.
There was a time.
Drake, before you ask real quick, I want to hear, because I know there had to be these days. How many times did you roll over to practice, Brady, knowing that that's what you had to do every day? And mentally, that was that, like, you were just like, you were either tired, long class, a lot of homework, whatever. And you were like, fuck, man, I have to go 300% again today. Like, what kind of mental battle is that? Were there ever days where you're like, I don't know if I can. How did you get yourself up on the days where it just wasn't, you know?
No, in fact, in maybe nostalgia, it's pretty well understood now that, you know, within this psychological literature and what have you, that nostalgia is it's very dishonest. You know, things are never quite as good as or bad as you remember. But especially good, we tend to kind of see things through rose-colored glasses as we reflect back on them. But looking back, my freshman year when I was on scout team was maybe my favorite year. Really? In many ways. We were 12-0, and that was fun. But even take that away, and I think it was because there was a very clear progression. It was clear that my actions were creating a progression towards somewhere worth going. And it was pretty clear. It was pretty measurable.
You could see the fruits of your labor.
You could see things. You could see the flywheel start to turn on its own.
Slight edge.
And that's a powerful feeling when, you know, no matter how extreme, you know, the actions are, when you see what you're doing starting to pay off, I think that's one of the best drugs. If you could bottle that drug up and sell it, yeah, you know, everyone in the world, you know, so
what's the second best drug? Are there any other good drugs out there?
It depends on what you're doing, I suppose. Right. Yeah. I'm a big caffeine guy. I like caffeine and aspirin daily. I'm on this health kick now.
Is that the fullback cocktail?
You don't want
an aspirin and caffeine.
The fullback cocktail.
Yeah, you might have to ask Drake for the fullback cocktail. I'm straight edge, and
I want my liver to work.
I don't know the first thing about that kind of thing. So
okay, all right. Drake, you can tell your story now.
There was a day where Brady Ross was the biggest thorn in my side of all time. It was 2015 in the indoor, the very last rep of the kick return period, which means the very last rep of the week. Yep. And it was late in the season. And Brady Ross came down
and punched the gas,
ripped my head off, dude. He punched the fucking gas through my chin, probably knocked me pretty out. I remember the play. I don't really remember the repercussion of it, but I mean, on a Wednesday or Thursday or something.
We might both feel the repercussion of it when we're 50 years old and can't remember our names, but
dude, I'm already forgetting everything.
Well, what do you do? What do you do?
That's only like 5 or 6 years for you.
All right, for the fullbacks here, what hurts most? 23B, power O, running into the wedge on kickoff, or being the wedge on kickoff return? Which one kills the most brain cells?
Honestly, I don't know. I think the, you know, patting each other on the back on how bad things are, as far as fullbacks are concerned, like, oh, this, you guys are so tough and all that. Like, we have helmets on and pads on. Like, it's not that, you know, it's like we're Navy SEALs. It's not like we're
– it's pretty vague.
Like it's not like we're on Omaha Beach charging machine. Like, we got helmet and pads on. Honestly, we're pretty soft. Mm. It's not – you don't have to be that tough to run into a guy.
It looked pretty vague.
Cushion on you. I mean, we did things way cooler than that when we were little and playing on a blacktop, no helmet. But I didn't make the rules. I just exploit them.
Brady's the only one to ever redshirt in element.
I very much did not like being the wedge on kickoff return. So I'm just going to select that one by sheer dislike.
The problem with a wedge being – and really they outlawed the wedge. I think that was after you
– RIP to the wedge.
But yeah. It's – I mean, it's the same concept. We now have to do a tandem. It's called a tandem, 2x2, whatever. But the problem with that being back line, whatever you call it, on kick return is there's one of two possible scenarios. One, you completely whiff and look like a complete, you know, just, you know, I mean, that happens a lot. I mean, or two, the opposite happens and you have trouble remembering where you are and who you are for a few.
Do you remember when Austin Kelly put the kid, we thought the kid was paralyzed.
I remember that.
Who was that against?
I remember
that. Western.
He fucked. That's
right. 2016, right?
That kid hit right in his chin, and the kid didn't wake up for 5 minutes at least. Shit,
bro, I remember about that. I remember watching that in the team meeting the next day, and everyone was like, Jesus Christ.
They had to bring him to the hospital, like, right next door.
Yeah, well, there was a lot of people who were like, please don't be paralyzed. Please
that motherfucker is still in the hospital, I'm fairly certain. Jesus. Okay, so 2015, all roses. Literally, fucking Rose Bowl. Actually, not all roses. We lost Big Ten Championship in the last 30 seconds or whatever it was, 2 minutes.
The Rose Bowl wasn't all roses either.
The Rose Bowl was tough. I'm so sad that was your first year and that you didn't get to be out there versus Ole McCaff, because let me tell you, not fun. Not fun.
Yeah.
Well, I think I got in on a quarter tackle on one of the punts. Otherwise, I watched him just run a lot. Over the next few years, well, I guess we left in 17, so there's only 2 years left.
How much did you hate it when I was gone, Brady?
Yeah, like what was it over the course of your career? Talk about maybe, I think on the, we're going to get to these Twitter questions. I think there was a couple like favorite block, favorite moment as a Hawk. And then maybe on the other side, like hardest you ever got hit in a game or like least favorite moment. Give us some of those.
Which one do you want?
Give us the favorites first.
Favorites.
Favorite block, I think. Let me see if I can find it.
Favorite block. I'm going to run to the bathroom quick. I'll be right back.
You're fucking kidding me, Brady. I hate you.
Wow. This has never happened.
This is unprecedented. Brady Ross thinks he can do what he...
What are the odds he just doesn't come back?
Pretty good. He might forget that we were doing a podcast.
We're just staring at the canceled Drake Kulak sign in this room right now.
Yeah, so for those watching on YouTube, he just got up out of his 1958 rolling desk chair. And now the canceled Drake Kulak sign takes precedent in the his quarter of the screen. What an interesting guy. What a fucking guy.
Like, who the hell just walks out of an interview like that?
That's incredible, that the audacity to really do that. And I'm leaving it in, too.
That's the thing about him, is the audacity is at an all-time high. Brady Ross, when it comes to the three of us, his audacity is on the moon where Neil Armstrong
and put
the
flag. For those listening, don't let him fool you. He's talked all about how bad 23B is all the time.
I'm overhydrated from yoga, so sorry.
From yoga.
Man of many talents. So what are you doing for workouts these days? I see you fucking deadlifting, doing yoga, and eating massive bowls of pasta. I can't figure out what you're doing.
That's it.
Deadlifting, yoga.
You nailed it. Yeah. Squat, bench, deadlift, yoga, and eat. And run and walk. I do a lot of walks.
Same.
So, like, do you have any training goals? Are you trying to do a powerlifting meet or you do what?
Yeah, eventually. But right now it's just recomping and trying to get some of this.
Explain this recomping. Yeah, explain recomping for the fans because they're not going to get that.
Well, I was, you know,
Trying
to get not fat.
Take us back to like your most elite pregame snake, and then
take us back to Friday night.
and then journey from that weight that night to where you're at now.
You know, there was a method to the madness because you know, my goal weight was 246 at its peak. But I would actually drive my weight higher than that. For Saturdays.
How much higher? How much higher?
Quite a bit higher. On occasion, we might see a six in the second digit column.
It wasn't even on occasion, dude.
Unbelievable.
Well, here's the thing.
Brady, you're not tall. You're like 6 feet?
Sure. Let's say 6 foot.
What did you measure at pro day? 5'11".
I am a hair under 6 feet. So I'm
260.
So rounding down doesn't make much sense, but yeah, we'll call it 6 feet.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
But yeah, how I'm utilized and really getting specific is we were blocking battering ram fullbacks. Right. We didn't play all over. We didn't really get the ball much, all that stuff. So when you're in a physical altercation like a 23B, you're bringing with you a weapon. And that weapon is your body mass. Just like if you're on the interstate, okay, and you're going to have a head-on collision, would you rather have a head-on collision with a smart car or an 18-wheeler Peterbilt? Right? The same thing applies. You know,
and Friday night Brady Ross was trying to be that.
I was trying it. I ended up becoming more like a, you know, like a dump truck, probably
a Mack truck. Yeah.
Just full of garbage. Probably a garbage truck would be.
How
the
bad
best
did
thing.
You feel?
I don't know. You get used to it after a while, but I wanted to hit
Dwan Bentley.
Sure. If I was going to hit pick your star opposing Mike linebacker, I wanted to do it being bigger than him and as big as I could be. Because again, I wasn't going to have to run fast with the ball in space because that wasn't asked of me. So that's why I would try to, you know, get my way. And then of course on Monday I would get it back down.
So what we're talking about is basically in the span of a week, every week.
Less than a week, because we weighed in on Wednesdays after practice. So you had from Wednesday morning to Saturday to gain 20 pounds.
15 pounds.
And then you had from Saturday after the game till Monday morning to lose 20 pounds.
Yeah, that was a lot. That was a lot my younger years. As I got older, I kind of, you know, I eased up on that quite a bit. I probably played around sometimes I was in the 240s, the high 240s. I was always over, but I would usually be low 250s as I got older.
You weren't pounding
on
down
Saturday,
you weren't pounding down the triple burgers and 10 scoops of ice cream on Friday nights anymore.
I never had ice cream. I never had ice cream.
Dude, the ice cream smiggity smack.
But how many of the chocolate milks did you drink?
I had a few.
I ate before the Outback Bowl. The last Outback Bowl, the one we won, I was coming back from the ankle injury, and I knew, and like Drake can tell you, as you go through the week, you as a fullback, you kind of get a feel for how much the play caller is intending to have you in the game on Saturday based on how many plays you get in practice. There are some weeks where we get quite a few plays in practice and some weeks where we might not even get two throughout the whole team period. Well, that bowl prep was one of those not very fullback heavy game plans. So, and Mikelli and I were going to be splitting reps.
Is that because they had the most elite D line?
Yeah, they looked like me and playing fourth grade flag football when I was when I was 17 years old. Like you keep referencing
those.
That's what they looked like. But yeah, so I went to town that snack because I knew that the few plays I was going to be in. There's a very real possibility that I was going to have a 300-pound man who runs a 4.5 40 in my lap. So, we could get that body weight up and see what we could do. But yeah, so it varied. But, yeah, as I got older and wiser, I eased up on that a little bit. But
that's incredible. I mean, the
comedy.
Oh, man. So we'll get to the end of your career, pro day, all this other stuff. But now where are you at? Now that the NFL, I mean, you potentially came out in the worst year ever for let's talk about that. You came out in the worst year ever.
The NFL doesn't want fullbacks.
COVID Chronicles. You essentially have had no chance, even if you were God at fullback, to make a team this year.
Well, I mean, I didn't even know if I wanted to do the pro day thing, truth be told. After the Holiday Bowl, I just had kind of a Zen type of calm about, kind of outlook on everything. And I thought, that's done. That's the football thing is done. It is what it is. And what happened was I was going to go and try to get hired as a financial advisor with Edward Jones, and that's a multiple month period. So I was pretty much in a situation where I wasn't going to be able to do anything for a few months anyway. And, if I trained, I could get free food and, free access to the weight room. And so kind of became a no-brainer. Well, then as the process continued to unfold, teams actually started to contact me and show quite a bit of what seemed like interest. Heard some very promising things from a lot of coaches. We're doing everything we can to get you here. I had a coach text me on the final day of the draft, if you don't get drafted, which is that's a big if there, but if you don't get drafted, keep us in mind. We have a situation you would really excel in. And turns out that particular team not only didn't contact me, they didn't even bring in a fullback, period. So there's some very weird politics that I'm sure is,
dude, that those guys
just
jobs,
above my pay grade. I don't understand it, but
their jobs are to suck. Just find a way to suck every single guy they're contacting off so that those guys feel obligated to choose them as a free agent.
Yeah. I mean, but you know, it is what it is. It's the business. And, you know, I'm feeling great right now. I'm down to about 215 and,
yeesh.
Don't have that sack of potatoes hanging over my belt quite like I used to, but you know, I mean, life is good. Life is great.
How much better do you feel?
A lot better. Yeah, I feel a lot better. I feel good. So,
do you feel it in your joints?
I for the first time in a long time, I don't feel anything in my joints, which is which is welcome change. I can actually run now without, you know, feeling it in both knees and ankles, and even my bad ankle is pretty much, you know, even though I've been, you know, working out a lot lately, it's feeling way better than it ever did when I was playing. So
you remember all the broken leg jokes that you used to hit me with, like the look mom two legs when you took that picture?
Yeah, what one was that? I do kind of remember.
We were at that photo shoot that the spring. And I could finally walk again. And I had put cleats on for the first time since I broke my leg. And you took a picture and you were like, at Drake, in quotations, look, mom, two legs.
Yeah, that was gnarly. But Brady, you know, what do you do? It happened. You either laugh or cry. And I tried to lift the spirits when I could. And
we got a great laugh out of that.
Yeah.
Might as well.
So I found the question one more before I think we're going to get into these questions on the back half of this thing. But it was, what is your favorite block of your career? What was your favorite moment of your career? And then a bunch of people wanted you and Drake to compare what you did well as a fullback versus what Drake did well as a fullback.
I'm telling you right now, I was better with the ball in my hands, and I don't care if Brady's going to deny it or what. That's my claim to fame. He was better when it came to body on body. I was pretty good out on the perimeter. You know, if you give us a push out on the perimeter inside the box, my guy was dusted me. Film doesn't lie, but I'll go to my grave saying I was better with the ball in my hands because I'm
Brady. Brady did try to turn around and hand it back to me. What the fuck were you doing? And that's one of the questions. I'll find it, but share your thoughts on that one.
Sometimes playmakers try to make plays, and it's easy when you're. It's easy when you're. It's easier when you're. You know, sitting on the couch as a you know, former long snapper who's in between tweets, reminding everybody that he played for the Hawks. usually stretching out 40 minutes apart, maybe.
Dude, why would I not?
But you know, it look, I tried making a play and it didn't work out. You know?
Respect.
It is what it is. I mean, it was all me. I should have ate it. You know, I got the ball and the dude was 3 yards in the backfield unblocked and I should have just went down. But some of us don't have that quit in us clue.
Respect.
So
Some would maybe spread for us in that game. But Brian decided he wanted to score touchdowns the last 2 minutes to cover the spread. So we're all good. No hard feelings, Brady.
Yeah.
It was keeping me up at night.
Drake got so many tweets after that happened. Like, what's your boy doing? I thought it was funny as fuck. Honestly, I was laughing. I was like, what? I was like, B. Ross, man. I that's what I said. I was like, he's trying to make some shit happen. He's really trying to.
Listen,
truth be told, I
did it in the national championship.
Yeah, I mean, when I got hit, it was one of those things. I didn't really secure the ball fully by the time I got whacked, and he got either his knuckle or the helmet right on the ball. And that put me in panic mode because, again, like I referenced earlier, when you're a fullback and you get the ball and you think that thing might be loose, you don't get the ball. Like, you better, you know, so my brain was just in panic mode and I should have went down. Definitely should have went down. No question about it, but I didn't. I tried making the Reggie Bush highlight play. And
the great answer.
How'd that work out for Reggie Bush?
It resulted in them running the opposite direction with the football. So sometimes you win some, you lose some, I guess.
Hey. There was a calculated risk, and it didn't pay off.
More power to you for trying, bro.
Yeah, that was just
is what it is.
I just remember our group chat. It was like, what the fuck is Brady doing?
Yeah, we had a fun time with it. We were laughing. It was great.
Oh, man. Because there's like some guys like you're like, okay, like maybe I expect that from, but it's like, Brady? Come on.
Let's talk about this a little bit longer, guys.
I was going to say, we don't got to take them.
Okay. We'll be back next week with part two of Brady Ross. Thanks for listening.
I'm MJ Acosta-Ruiz.
And I'm Lindsay Zarniak.
And together we'll be hosting the On Her Turf podcast. This summer, On Her Turf is hosting a daily Olympics podcast
that focuses exclusively on women's sports and the amazing women competing in Tokyo.
We'll bring you interviews with Olympians and in-depth analysis on your favorite teams.
Plus, we're going to talk about some of the challenges still facing women's sports today.
So join us daily at On Her Turf as we cover all the excitement of the Tokyo Olympics.
Be sure to check us out on Apple Podcasts and be sure to follow On Her Turf on Twitter and Instagram too.